me. Excuse me, Deuteronomy 8. And I'm going to read before I start, I just want to tell you, there's a couple things on why we have hard times in our life. Okay? And I'm going to give you three of those. So I'm going to move pretty quickly. If you don't know where it's at in the Bible, don't worry about it. I'm not concerned about how much you know your Bible. That, but there's so much struggling going on in the churches today. And God just gave me three important reasons why people are going through such hard times. So I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 8, and I want to start in verse 2 and 3. And it says, "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what is in thy heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make known to thee that man doeth not live by bread only, but every word which proceeded out of the mouth of God, the Lord doth man live by." And so there's a proving with God. Okay? When there's hard times in your life, there's a proving with God. He's going to prove this. He's going to let those hard times come in your life because he wants to see exactly where you stand with him. What's going to happen, like Job, if God throws something like Job in your way? What are you going to do? Like his wife said, curse God and die? Or are you going to bless God and say, the Lord giveth and he taketh away? Okay? What are you going to do? So there's a trying with God. He's going to try that faith. Hey, yeah, I'm called of God. Or yes, I'm a saved person. Or yes, I'm a Christian and this and that. And God's going to say, well, let's see how much that is then. Okay? Now, let's see how much you're going to put them boots on and going to be willing to work. Go with me. Go with me. No matter what happens, okay? When they walk up to the Red Sea, they're thinking, oh my goodness, what's going to happen here? Okay? They all started doubting God. What'd you do? Bring us here just to kill us, Lord? Is that what you brought us here for? Listen, God doesn't save a person just to kill you. God doesn't save a person just to totally destroy you. Okay? There's things he's got to prove in your life. There's things he's got to show. And I want to show you a few things out of these verses here. And it says here that he wanted to humble thee. We have a lot of pride. Our lives are full of pride. Somebody does something to us or says something to us and we well up and we want to beat them up or kill them and stab them. That's called pride. And so God can't communicate with somebody who's full of pride. He wants to humble them. He's got to have your ears open. You got to be able to hear what he's saying to you. And so we get all puffy and I'm this and I'm that. Not just with situations where people mess with us, but our own lives, our own choices that we make. Are we making those choices from pride? Or we make them because we went to God and said, Lord, what is it? How? And you know what? He's got to humble thee. Got to humble you, man. I know I get puffy. Oh, man, I was a fighter. I like to fight out there. I was like the one who liked to cuss you out and so on. So God says, I got to humble you. Because there wasn't a time in my life that Dale was ever humble. I didn't know how to be humble, okay? And Lord's humbling me. He sends things in your path. He sends, whether it be work, whether it be people, whether it be your parents, whether it be college, no matter what it is, he's going to let stuff come your way so he can humble you. But the thing is, you got to see it. What's the very next thing that he says? To prove thee. He's got to prove where you really stand. Can he yank that rug up from underneath you and you're going to stand there? Can he tug on that rope a little bit and you're going to stay? Or is it all going to collapse and you're just going to turn away because it was just too hard? Okay, he's got to prove. I remember after I first got saved 6 years, I mean, October makes 6 years. I mean, I was the happiest person in the world. I could have did bad flips. I was ready to go out in the streets and preach. I was still living in Cuba at the time on East Main Street. And I mean, I was just the happiest time of my life. Then after about 8 months to a year, God said, now it's time to put the boots on, Dale. And he pulled that stuff out from underneath me, man. To prove me. To humble me. To see, am I really going to stand with God? Do I really have the faith that he can get me through? Because we go through hard times. There's four of us that live in a house. I have two vehicles, a home. I got to buy food, pay all my bills. Nobody helps us. There's four of us in that house. And guess what? God brings our bank account to the pennies. Okay? I'm an ex-convict. I know how to go out there and rob and steal. I can bring a couple thousand dollars in a day in my home. Guaranteed. You see how he's proven? He's proven where I'm at. He's going to prove me. He put me in charge of a family. He put me in charge of a wife and children. And so what am I going to do? Am I going to go out there and I'm going to turn back? Like the children, when they walked up to the Red Sea, who said, I would rather have died in Egypt than be brought here. Is that what's going to happen to me?
Will it?
Well, let's just see, Dale. Let's just start pulling that stuff up. Let's start getting that comfort zone and start crushing that thing a little bit. Let's start taking that comfort zone and moving you outside of that comfort zone. And let's see where you really stand. It's a serious matter. It's a serious thing. How can he prove? How can I go in? You know, I go in and teach the people in jails and prison. How can I go in there and teach those people hope if I can, and faith in Jesus Christ if I can't live it myself? How can you do it? You can't do it. How can I ever go out there and tell people, hey, you can have a better life when you see my life, all I am is a crumbly mess? Okay? To prove thee and to know what is in thine heart. Do you think God has to know what's in your heart? He already knows what's in your heart. You don't. The problem is you can't see what's in there. You go in and you read it. It says that he tries the reins, R-E-I-G-N-S, the reins that steers an animal, and the heart. Because not only does he want you to know your heart, but he wants you to know why your heart thinks the way it does. That's the reins. What's steering your heart? What's making you do those things? You already know what's in your heart, but why are they there? That's the reins that he's trying to show you. He's trying to show you why that's there. He's trying to show you why your heart thinks the way it does. You know why? Is it because he's mean? It's because he's a loving father. Many people know God as God, but they don't know him as a father. As a father, we have to make hard decisions for our children. And I think I talked to you about this. We have to make hard decisions for our children. Why? Because we hate them? No, because we love them. And so God the Father has to make hard decisions for us. Why? Because he hates me? Because he loves me. Okay? He wants to prove what's in the heart. He wants you to see, look at this right here is the problem between me and you. This is what's going on. Job 10:1. Job says, Lord, don't condemn me. Show me, therefore, why thou contendest with me. What is the problem? What do you have with me, God? What is it that you're trying to show me? Okay? Don't condemn me. Show me what the problem is. Job wanted to know what the issue was. And that's what we should want to know. Verse 3, it says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. We just read right here that it's not food he's talking about. Because he fed him with manna. So what is he? What are they suffering from? The very last thing says that you should live by man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's what they're hungry. They're missing the word of God. It's not manna. He's told you he fed them with manna, so they're not hungry people. They've been fed, but what are they missing? What's that hunger he's talking about? That word of God that's in your lap. That's what's missing in your life. He suffered him the hunger. Okay, you don't want me? Then you know what? Your prayers I'm not going to hear. You want to read the Bible? That's it. There's a hunger. You know what he says? It's going to cause a famine in the land. And not a food, but the hearing of the word of God. So what it says in, I think, Ezekiel or Isaiah. It's going to be a famine in the land. It's not a food, but it's the hearing of the word of God. And that's what he's talking about here. They're not hearing the word of God. God said, come out of Egypt. Come on, I called you out. You're my children. Come on, go this way. I want you to march this way. They got up to the Red Sea. You know what they did? They did not hear God. Because the first thing they did is start complaining. You brought us out here just to kill us.
He suffered them the hunger. Okay? It says, which thou knowest not. This is talking about the generations who didn't know God. Did you know that these people here, God already knew they were going to be 40 years in the wilderness. Do anybody know that that whole generation was dead by the time they came to the promised land? And only two of those people were going to cross over, Joshua and Caleb? It's a whole new generation going into the land of Canaan. These that were in the wilderness 40 years, every one of them were dead.
Because God proved them? Showed himself to them? Showed them their self? And they weren't faithful. Therefore, they weren't going into the promised land. It's a whole new generation going over into the promised land. That's why Deuteronomy is giving you the laws and stuff all over again, because it's all new people. It's a whole new tribe. It's a whole new generation. It's a younger generation going over there.
I got to move on. It says, neither do the fathers know it, that he might make thee to know that man do not live by bread alone. He's trying to make you see that you cannot physically live just by bread and water alone. That means food, okay? You can't just live by food. It's obvious to adopt that we can't handle our own lives. And I'm guilty of that. I can't handle my life. You all know my testimony, and it's obvious that I can't handle my own life. So I have to have something that's going to teach me how to live my life. Something that's going to show me. Babies don't come with instruction manuals, okay? But God gave us an instruction manual as his child, and it's sitting right there in your hands. Okay? Gosh, it's not a bad life. It's a wonderful life. It's not a burdensome life. It's a wonderful life. I'm not sitting in jails anymore. I'm not an addict anymore. I'm not in prisons anymore. I'm not in mental hospitals. I'm not on any of that medication. I have a beautiful family. I work. I have a wonderful church. I got a ministry. It's not a hard... How is that a hard life? It's not a hard life, but we go through the hard times. Because God's trying to humble us and prove what's in our heart. All right, let's go to... Let's see, well, number two is what? Okay, go with. I was going to read Lamentations 3. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want you to see. Lamentations 3, and that's after Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Okay, Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. I can't read the whole thing because it's a lot of verses. But I want you to see here. Let me get here. I'm going to just give you a little paraphrase. You read this. Get home later and read this. Read Lamentations, okay? There's 66 verses in it. But he's going out and he's saying, God doesn't hear me. I'm a Christian. Why do I live my life this way when God doesn't want to hear my life? He doesn't care about me. He's going on complaining and just things are so rough. It's so bad for me and so on and so forth. And he says, verse 19 says, remember my affliction and my misery. The wormwood and the gall. Verse 20. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Verse 21. This I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. He's been here before. He's been here. God has brought him. You read that the first 18 verses of that chapter, and it talks about God destroying his life. God just pulling that rug out from him, and he's proving him, he's trying him, and he's trying to humble him, okay? And so God's doing all, letting all this stuff come into his life. He goes, wait a minute, I've been here before. I've been here before. So there's hope. There's hope. Let me just say this. As long as you have breath, and as long as you're breathing, there is hope. There's hope. Don't get hopeless. The thing is nobody ever taught you that. The thing is nobody's ever showed you that. The thing is that people don't care about that hope anymore. Okay? It's about programs. Okay? And it's about making you feel good about yourself and about this and that. Listen, that's all fine and dandy. But that stuff doesn't get you through your hard times. But hope will. H-A-T-E is what used to be tattooed right here. And after, I don't believe in tattoos. I just don't believe in him anymore. I hate him. I can't stand him. I should never got him. That's just who I was, okay? I used to have H-A-T-E tattooed right here. And after I got saved, I put H-O-P-E. Because I'm no longer full of hate. But I sure am full of hope. For sure, I'm full of hope.
Think God made an exception to that one?
I don't know if he did or not, but I'm okay. I just the go around... And people, the first thing a lot of people do is look at my hands. The first thing they always seen was that word hate. What's the word hate for on your knuckles? What's the word hate for? And here I am. I'm telling them I'm a Christian and so on. That's what I used to feel. I was full of hate. I was a hateful person, you know. I had my name on my knuckles. They're Dale and hate. And they go, well, why do you have Dale hate on your knuckles? I say, so when I knocked you out, you know who done it and you know the reason why I did it. That's what I used to tell people. That's what he used to tell me. He used to call me, one of my nicknames was called the hate tank. Because I would just run through people. I just didn't care. I would just swing off and just, it didn't matter to me. Okay? And they would call me the hate tank. And so that's the reason why I got that on my knuckles. Because I was just full of that hate and that rage and that bitterness. And Jesus Christ stepped in my life. I don't have that anymore. Now I have hope. And I want people to see there's hope. But you're going to go through hard times. Okay, I go through hard times as a Christian. You're going to go through hard times regardless. But there's two ways to look at it. Either your life is over, or you can look at it the way here Jeremiah is talking in Lamentations. He says, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. I've been here before. I've been through hard times before. I made it, and I'm going to make it again. But if you don't have that hope inside of you, it's emptiness. Tell me, is it not emptiness, like what you've been going through? It's absolute emptiness. It don't have to be that way anymore. That's the difference between me and somebody who doesn't know the Jesus Christ, doesn't know hope. Because I go through things like that, but I don't have that emptiness anymore. I have hope, Eric. Why? I can recall this to my mind. I've been here before. God's going to get me through this. I have that hope. And guess what? He has never let me down. Here I stand here today. Oh, I tried suicide many times, friends. Many times, jumping off... out in Albany, they have this huge dam waterfall thing. I mean, jumping off there, ripping the skin off of my back, sliding down the wall, man, cutting myself. I mean, pills, you name it. I tried killing myself a whole lot of times. I didn't have any hope in me. And then literally, I mean, end up at the mental hospitals and everything else because I just didn't have hope inside of me. I have hope today. There's no suicidal thoughts that run through my mind. I was on 19 pills when I first started coming to this church because they were trying to control my anger and everything. I'm on zero today. Zero. None. When I do get depressed, it's maybe a day or two, and it's because I've done something myself because I'm the idiot that caused it. Okay? It's not because I'm out there wreaking havoc on people or being a drug addict or alcoholic. It's not because I'm out there living a life of sin. God is good, man. People don't know that today. Isaiah 48. I'm going to read two verses. Isaiah, just go back. Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48. Going through troubles? God knows. Isaiah 48 knows exactly where you're at. Here it is. Ready? Isaiah 48, starting in verse 9. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger. For my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee. But not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give glory unto another. God's doing this. God's the one who's putting us through this. He says, I'm going to refine you. I'm going to make that stuff so hot, that stuff is going to boil out of you and you're going to become pure one day. Got to get that. But what's it going to say? He says, in the fiery furnace of affliction. Of affliction. Why? You ever do something? Stick your finger on a burner. And man, that thing hurts. But I bet you won't do it again. You know why? Because you went through that fiery furnace of affliction. And God's got to do that to some of us. And that's how he's going to bring healing. That fiery furnace of affliction. Another thing, you know why else he does it? So you don't go up there polluting his name.